This week's Torah way has been sponsored by Ilu Nishmas, Esther Brocha, Basrab Arya Rai. Yud Gimel Adar Beis, Wednesday the 20th of March, Tanis Esther, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Mimran, preparing for Purim.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me here to speak here in London, the Torah way. No better way to start the day. So we're going to prepare for Purim. Obviously, we know it's Tanis Esther. And I think really the Tanis Esther, many different shots on why the Tanis Esther has been instituted. But really the main reason is really to prepare for Purim. I think we have to really understand that. And there's a special Kedusha in Purim, and there's an Avodas Hayom, besides all the different mitzvahs that we find during the Purim day. So maybe we'll just discuss about that. And before I start talking about the story behind the story of Purim, and what the Avodah is, maybe just a little short Dvar Halacha, which I found was quite interesting. So we know when we start the month of Adar, we know there's a famous saying, Misha Nichnas Adar, Ma'avi Misimcha. Everybody knows it? And anybody here that doesn't know this saying? I've never met anybody that doesn't know this. Everybody sings it. And, you know, I'm very, very curious to find out where is this exactly in Chazal. Anybody know?
Yes. The verse is Kesheim Sheh.
Right. It's a Mama Chazal, but it's strange. You would think you would find it in Gemara's in the Megillah, right? The Gemara Maseches Megillah. It's not found there. It's actually not found in any of the Rishonim. It's not found in the Rambam, and it's not even found in Shulchan Aruch either, which is a bit strange. We do have a similar saying, like this Rabbi was just telling us. That when you're nichnas av, mematim b'simcha, that's brought then in the halacha, in the Rambam, and in the Gemara. But this saying of misha nichnas av is not found anywhere. I challenge anybody to look through Shulchan Aruch, you won't find it over there. But like this rabbi said, it's in a Gemara Tanis, of any place. And the Gemara says, kishem shenichnas av, mematim b'simcha, ken kishem nichnas Ado Malbi Mesimcha. So it's a really a bit of a problem over here, because it's one chazal, but only the first part of that chazal, Mematim Be'av, has been put into halacha and brought that in the Rambam. And the other part, which we're so familiar with saying, Mishnichnas Ado Malbi Mesimcha, that's not found any place in halacha or the Rambam, which needs a little bit of understanding. Why is that? What's the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? The second question I'd like to ask you is, as the Gemara continues, the Gemara Tanis Chavtes Amud Aleph, and over the page, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, and it's a famous Chazal again, that when you have a court case against a non-Jew, that you have to be careful, if it's in the month of Av, to postpone it to a different month. Why? Because there's a Reisa, it's a negative month. It's a negative month. And the Gemara says, Amar Papa, and continues, that if you have a court case in Adar against a non-Jew, then it's a good time to have a court case against a non-Jew, because it's a good month. The Machshor asked the Kasha, he asked the Kasha right off and north, he says, he doesn't understand, what's Rav Papa going on about? We know there's a Gemara, that's what we take on the Halacha, that the Gemara Shabbos, at the end of Shabbos, Ein Mazel Yisrael. Man of Kamina, when your court case is in Av and Adar, whatever month, we're above all Mazalis. So what's Rav Papa going on? And again, this is brought them in Halacha about having a court case in Av. So what's going on exactly? Third question I'd like to ask you is about Rashi there, of that Gemara Tanis. Rashi says, you know why Adar is so special? Because you had Nisim that happened in the month of Adar. What's the Nisim? So says Rashi, one Nes was Purim, and the other Nes was Pesach. Pesach. No, the question is obvious. What's Pesach have to do with Adar? Why is Rashi mentioning that the Nisim that happened, what made, on that Gemara of Papa, what made Adar so special is the miracles that happened during Adar that was Purim and Pesach. Now, Pesach, we all know, it's in the next month, in the month of Nisim. What's Rashi trying to tell us over here with the month of Adar? So Rav Yaakov Emdem, in his Sefer, in Chelek Beis, in Simon Peches, he says, he gets a teretz. I actually want to move over to the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer in Chelek Or Chaim, Simon Kof Samech. He answers as follows. And he says, the reality is that Ein Mazal Issa. We take on like the Gemara Shabbos, at the end of Shabbos. There is no Mazal Issa. So what's going on over here? But rather, he says in Yisoid, he gives a few different tools, but this is what I want to speak about, that it's interesting, Yisoid, that even though we're above Mazal Issa, but unfortunately, if we do things which are not correct, api Torah, we can become into the influence of Mazal Issa. So, for example, in Av, we unfortunately didn't do the Klal Yisrael didn't do everything they were supposed to do. The Gemara says, "Bechile doiras," because you're crying bechinam. Therefore, that month is going to be a sort of a negative month. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, the Enechanami, we're above the mazalas, but sometimes we can become lower and into the influences of mazalas. And therefore, nafkamina would be if you had a court case, then postpone it to a different month. But sometimes we're above the mazalas, and some mazalas, nechanami, there are better than others. For example, when Nisim happened in those particular months, the mechazik the month, then nechanami, that we're betoch that mazal because it is a great mazal. So for example, says Rashi, all the Nisim that happened during Adar, all those Nisim that happened during Purim, then that was mechazik the month. And as well, the beginning of the Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Anachanami, that happened by Sohib Benissa, but it started by Adar, that also collectively reimbursed and became a stronger month, and therefore, that's Mechazik, two times Nisim in a particular month is a Chazaka, according to some Shitas. So says Rashi, this Chazaka of having two times Nisim in a particular month, that was Mechazik. That was Mechazik the month, and therefore it gives power to that mother, and we can fall under that, getting that chizuk of that month of Adar, which we are now. So we find this whole musig of mazalas and hashpah, but it's interesting. We have another type of hashpah that comes our way as well, especially during this chag. Pesach, Purim, all these different hashpahs that come to us, and that's what we're going to speak about now. And continuing on this theme of Misha Nichtas Adar Malmi Ben Simcha, we loosely translate this in English. What does that mean exactly? It's a bit of a strange lashon, if you don't mind saying. Because loosely translated, we say that those who enter Adar increase Simcha. Now, if we think about that, it's an interesting way of phrasing, because it's not that we enter Adar. Adar is here, and then we participate in whatever we're supposed to be doing. The avoid say, yo, either it's Pesach or Sukkot or whatnot. What is a Misha Nichnas, when you enter Adar, Marbin the Simcha?
Sorry, it's one word, Misha Nichnas. It's not if someone Misha Nichnas, when
Odo enter. Masai.
Yeah, but not
this. What's Nichnas?
Not really the person, not a person on the monthly.
Okay.
It's one way.
We'll speak about that, exactly. And what's this Malbim B'Simcha? Is it Tzivoy? You have to be Malbim B'Simcha, or automatically Malbim B'Simcha? And if you're not B'Simcha, what's going on exactly with this Malbim Chazal? Misha Nichnas Adar. When you Nichnas Adar, you're Malbim B'Simcha. So, allow me just to share with you a little Chazal here. Now, in a famous Sefer called Shari Kavonis. Shal Kavonis is written by Rav Chaim Vital. Now, the Sefer Kavonis is brought down in Mishabro in many different places. Sefer Kavonis, again, from Rav Chaim Vital, which was the Talmud of the Arizal. Now, the Sha'al Kavon, this is just a later edition of that, but it's a wonderful sefer. And there he speaks about the story of Purim, but on a little bit of a deeper level, but very, very understandable. So let me just walk you through this. But in order to do that, I just want to compare what we understand the story of Purim and the way the Arizal looked at the story of Purim. So as the way we understand Purim is that we have this antagonism between Haman and Mordechai Tzadik, right? We know that Chazal tells us that Haman used to be a slave to Mordechai. He used to look after his horses for many, many years until one glorious day he elevated himself through the political system there in Ahasuerus' kingdom and became second in charge. So he became a very, very politically successful person. And who does he meet? He meets his old master, Mordechai Tzadik. Obviously, you have this antagonism between the master and the slave, and now the roles have changed a little bit. And as well, to add to the conflict over here, Mordechai is not listening to Haman at all, not bowing down to him. Everybody else is, except for Mordechai Tzadik. So you can just, you know, feel the animosity between Haman and Mordechai. So therefore, of course, in those days, you know, capital punishment was very simply executed immediately. If one of the kings or the ministers didn't like anybody, they killed them on the spot. So there we have Haman and Rasha totally hating Mordechai Tzadik. So naturally, you think that he would just go and kill him, but he doesn't. We see the story progressing. We see that Haman and Rasha goes to Ahasuerus and decides to has this whole grandiose plan to kill not only Mordechai, but all the Yidden all of a sudden. All the Yidden all of a sudden. Now, which is a bit strange. I mean, if his whole issue is with this particular Yid called Mordechai Tzadik, why all of a sudden does he want to kill all the Yidden? We have to address that. Second of all, we find that Chazal as well tell us that Haman was very, very particular about the base of Mikdash not being built. Very, very particular. He would do anything to make sure the base of Mikdash would not be built. He knew the time was for that time to be base of Mikdash to come back to its glory, and he wanted to make sure base of Mikdash not going to be built. Now, Mandakashme. Now, why is he so bothered about the base of Mikdash? I mean, if we fall again, go back to that story of this antagonism between these two individuals about Haman and Mordechai. It's a personal issue, isn't it? He takes it to a global issue. He wants to kill all the Yidden. Now he wants to destroy, or not destroy, wants to make sure that the base of Mikdash is not built either. Now that needs a little bit of understanding as well. We find as well that Chazal tells us that he had an incredible wife called Zeresh. Now this Zeresh wasn't a normal woman. Chazal tells us that she was incredibly smart. Now, Haman had, according to Chazal, 365 top advisors. Remember, he's second in charge of the biggest world power. He had access to everybody, all the greatest minds. And he had 365 advisors. And Chazal tells us that Zeres Ishto was smarter than all 360. Advisor. She was a machashefis, she was a witchcraft, and she knew the occult, and she was incredibly wise. And then he had a meeting. He decided to have a meeting with his wife and this 365 top advisors to discuss what they're going to do with Mordechai and Tzadik. That's where the Chazal put it. They decide that they're going to hang Mordechai and Tzadik on a pole 50 amos. Now let me ask you, Aboisa, again, this, just to make this a little bit more concrete, again, we have an issue about two individuals over here, a very simple issue, you know. We have somebody who used to be somebody else's slave, now he became a great man, and this other person's not listening to him again, so the obvious solution over here is just eliminate your enemy. No, instead, his grandiose plan, he has this great meeting with all these individuals, to find out what to do with Mordechai Tzadik, where he could have asked a two-year-old, and two-year-old would have told him, well, just, you know, whatever you want to do with him, you know, kill him, whatever. What's the whole meeting about exactly? How to kill him? To hang him or to stab him or to whatnot? Do you need such a big meeting of the greatest minds of that era in order to figure out what to do with Mordechai? To come out with a very simple plan, you know, just build the pole and hang him? That also needs a little bit of understanding. What exactly is going on in the minds of Haman? Okay? So those are the little problems over here. Now, let's understand the way the Arizal understands the story. Now, it makes a little bit more sense now. The way he starts off by telling us, by giving us the picture of who Haman really was. Again, he was a Rasha, but he calls him an astrologer gadol, a gadol. A gadol in astrology. Now, not astrology doesn't mean what we know in astrology over here about the stars and the movements and the constellations, but rather, he knew actually to manipulate the mazalas. He knew what was above the mazalas. He had a koichus of tuma, grandiose, a very, very powerful koich of tuma. And the Ariza tells us as well, they had a shosh neshama in the deepest, lowest world, which gave him tremendous amounts of powers to see into the future and so on and so forth. He wasn't a normal individual at all, at all. His sons as well. And his plan, says the Ariza, wasn't just to knock out his enemy, Mordechai Tzad, because of this Gaivadik issue. Not at all. His understanding of the spiritual worlds was very, very deep. And he understood the following. He understood the following. That we know, we all daven towards Yerushalayim. We know, Chazal tell us that all our tefillahs are funneled through that Mokum Amikdash, through the base of Mikdash, and even the base of Mikdash not there, and Kilo, it goes up. There's sort of a portal above the base of Mikdash that just goes directly to Hashem. That's the way it goes. We all face Yerushalayim, our tefillahs go up to Hashem, through the base of Mikdash, through the Mokum Mikdash, and then what happens? Hashem reciprocates by giving us Shefa. It goes through the base of Mikdash, through Klal Yisrael, and through Klal Yisrael, it's mispashit. It goes to all of the Umas HaOilam. We have the Koach Abrocha that they don't. For example, in Sukkot, we give Shivim Parim. We bench the Umas HaOilam. We give Korbanos for them. Avraham Avinu, as we know, all of us are Kadosh. They had a Koach Abrocha. Koach Abrocha, that means they get Shefa from the Eibushter, and they're able to, with the Eibushter's will, to give over that Shefa to whoever they wanted. Koach HaBracha. We bench our children, like Yaakov Avinu benched his children. Because again, that Koach HaBracha. Again, the way it goes, we'll mispalit, it goes up. In the Lashon HaRiza, it's called Aliyas Man, Yeridus Man. It goes up, whatever goes up comes down, that Shefa comes down through Klal Yisrael, and over to the Umas HaOilam. And obviously to us, to the Umas HaOilam. That's the way it goes. And you know who knew this? Haman. Haman knew the secret of the Yidden, the secret of bracha, giving over a bracha, and receiving shefa. This was his plan. His plan was as follows. That he didn't just want to kill Mordechai. His plan was to become the greatest man that ever lived on earth, taking over Ahasuerus's place. And not only that, he wanted to be Rosho B'Shamayim as well. He wanted to take over the spiritual worlds as well. Like we find in the story of the Dor HaFloga, the way they wanted to build the Migdal and replace Hashem Kiviyochel and become the new Elokah to receive all that Shefa that once upon a time that Klal Yisrael used to get through the base of Mikdash, and to become empowered through that Shefa. Because the way it goes is that if we don't receive the Shefa, if we're not zoichet receiving Shefa, the Shefa comes down anyways. And unfortunately, it goes down to the Umas HaOilam. And that's how they explain why there's a boom in technology and so on and so forth. Because if we don't receive that Chochmas Elokis from Hashem, then it will go down to the Goyim Rachman Islam. So Haman knew this. And therefore he had to create a diabolical plan of how to siphon out that Kedusha that comes down to Diri for Klal Yisrael and to receive it for himself and therefore become the greatest individual being that there ever was. Not only the power of humanity over the humanity, but also in the spiritual world. And how was he going to do that? To make sure the base of Mikdash is not going to be built. And to make sure when the Shefer comes down, that who does it go down to? The Klal Yisrael. That there will be no more Klal Yisrael. And particularly, where does that Shefer go to? To the Gedolei Ador. And that's why we go to the Gedolei Ador for brachas. Why do we all run to Rav Kamenetsky and other Gedolim? Because they particularly get huge amounts of Shefer for Klal Yisrael, and then they have this Koach HaBrocha to give it out. Who was the Gedolei Ador in the time of Haman? Mordechai HaTzadik. He knew that it wasn't just enough just to kill Mordechai. He had a better plan than that. He had a plan to receive instead of Mordechai the Shefa that Mordechai Tzadik was receiving. That was his real plan. And in order to do that, he needed great minds to help him. People in the occult, Zeres Ishto, that knew witchcraft, that were able to siphon out the Kedusha that Mordechai Tzadik were receiving, and to receive it for himself, and then become a superman, a tremendous power, spiritually speaking. So what was the plan? What was the plan? The plan was to make a pole 50 amos high, and to hang him there. Says the Arizal something very interesting. He says, what was the plan? He says, we know that the Koach HaTumah started by Adam HaRishon, correct? We know the Koach HaTumah was outside of Adam HaRishon, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, it was Nichnas Bo, that's why we have the Yetzer Hara. But before that, it was outside of Adam HaRishon. What was that Koach HaTumah? It was a Nachash. It was a Nachash. The Nachash was the primordial Koach HaTumah. Says Arizal that they recreated the Nachash, particularly the Zon of a Nachash, which was 50 amas high. 50 amas high. So we're told in Chazal it was a pole, but really, it was a Koach HaTumah called the Zon of a Nachash. 50 amas high. And the way I understand in my little mind is that, sort of, if you put a metal pole very, very high on in a storm, and the electric bolts, right, the lightning are attracted to the bolt of the electric bolts are attracted to this metal pole automatically, as we see that. So same thing over here. They had to construct this mechanism by which they're going to put Mordechai over there, and then when the Shefer comes down, it's going to be siphoned through Mordechai down into the Olam HaTumah, where the Shosh Neshama of Haman and the Asav B'nei Haman were. That was his plan. It wasn't simple, as we read the simple reading in the Megillah, that he just wanted to kill him and then he wanted to hang him. It was much more than that. His kavana was to tap into this Shefa, which was the greatest day to do that. Asapur, he went through the mazalas in depth. He went in Shemayim and found out of all days to do this, this is the most appropriate day, which is Purim, which is going to be tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, that has the Koach HaKadusha, which is stronger than any other day of the year. As we know, Chazal tell us that all the Modim of Mizvatlim, Chutz Mina Purim. Purim is the greatest day we're going to have. It's going to, when Mashiach comes, it's Kulo Purim, Kulo Yom Shabbos. That's his plan. His plan was to siphon that Kedusha and to receive it for himself. But Baruch Hashem, Yeshua Hashem, keherav ayin, we know the ending of the story, that's poshut, that Hashem was able to reverse all that diabolical, evil plan of Haman to receive that powerful Shefa. So Rabbeisai, why are we talking about this? Chochma bagoyim tamim. So even though goyim, we know we don't learn from the goyim, but chokhma b'goyim tamim. This incredible individual called Haman, Haman Rasha, but nevertheless, he's showing us that on Tamar B'zant Hashem, that at the Purim has this tremendous power of Kedusha, more powerful than any other time of the year, and that influence, says the Arizal, comes back once a year. We only have once a year to tap into that Kedusha. And therefore, really, that is the avoid the Sayyom. To understand that we have mitzvah Sayyom. shlochmanas, matan yoinim, the suda, and so on and so forth. But the koach tefillah is absolutely tremendously powerful. And therefore, I know we're very busy. We're running around in the mitzvah sayom, the suda, and trying to catch it before all the suda, before shkia, and so on and so forth. But to spend time to mispalel, it's greater than the Yom Kippur itself. Greater than Yom Kippur itself. Not me, I didn't say it, Chazan said it. Kule kodesh kodoshim. And therefore, just to maybe mechazik the inyan of the avodas hayom, of course the mitzvahs are all there, but to mispalel for people who really need it, people who are suffering, people who are waiting for the shidduchim, for the panos, or whatever it is, and to understand the power of the Kedusha, and Hashem listens to this day, of the next day of Purim, with full attentiveness. So to Hashem, hopefully, this was a little bit of a chizuk for everyone, and b'schus the tefillahs of Purim, we should be zoche to see the Mashiach. Amen.